my biggest dream in life. I've literally said this on like the last four podcasts I've been on, is that I'll be sitting at a coffee shop one day and a pretty girl will sit opposite me at a separate table. And then I'll jump up and I'll start singing From Hamilton and I'll be like, "Dear Theodosia, what to say to you?" And then she'll look at me and be like, "You had my eyes." And we do a duet and the next thing we'll fall in love and be married. That's my dream.
Yeah.
That's after they get kicked out of the restaurant.
Hi, my name is Sami Arif and you're listening to The Decant Show.
Yo, check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be an outcast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Decant is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned in to The Decant Show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
The Decant.
Welcome to your tribe.
Are you not allowed to sing in public here?
No, you are.
Oh, we don't encourage it.
You scared?
We don't encourage it.
We don't encourage it.
I would have been there.
No, there's so many Filipinos in the UAE and karaoke is our national sport. So that is how it rolls.
Yeah. You haven't been to a karaoke bar in Deira, you haven't lived.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Deira. So
okay.
No, generally, even to the listeners.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna love vibe. It.
I've only ever done karaoke in Japan. That's where I did overpriced karaoke.
Okay, it's overpriced here too. So you're gonna be along the lines of what you've experienced. but I just think it's a vibe here because like most of the community loves to sing, and there are like classics. They're all Lionel Richie. All of the classics.
All of them.
Most of them.
All of them. How many times can you sing "Dancing on the Ceiling"?
As many times as you need to until heaven falls. I don't understand what's he asking.
Do you remember a song called Night Shift?
Yeah.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down on the night shift. They played it at the Kenyan airport and I was like, wow.
Wow.
Who's controlling the playlist here?
Wow.
Yeah.
Airport playlists are a vibe. I think we need to like really contemplate how we're curating.
But you know what? Most of the airports that I've been at, like I've never heard, like it's just like instrumentals.
Oh, like elevator music.
Yeah. No, you're precise. They're elevator music. I just didn't want to say elevator music. I was like, let me see.
It's airport music.
But you know, in one of the Emirates recently, when I was walking the other day, I heard like a nice lo-fi kind of playlist. You know what I mean? Like full on like hip hop, lo-fi.
Really?
I don't like.
That did not happen to me when I was there.
I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, whoa. And it was like, it was from the mall. It wasn't like from a shop.
Yeah. I try to walk 2 kilometers a day and that's the mall I go to.
Well, the one
if you want to go 10, go to Dubai Mall.
Yeah, that's really? Right across right the street there. From us. We're at the Rove today.
It literally says Dubai Mall. And this is like the third time someone has pointed to the Dubai Mall.
And you still have not noticed it?
No, I have. I have been there.
You should go there.
But I have been there. And I don't enjoy that walk as much as the Mall of the Emirates walk.
How come?
I think, firstly, the air conditioning is way better at Mall of the Emirates. I feel cooler automatically.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I don't get the judgmental eyes because I'm still doing it in my gym clothes. I'm not walking around in jeans and a t-shirt there.
Okay, yeah.
I'm committing hard.
Yeah. You're a mall walker.
Yeah.
You're a mall walker. Yeah.
Oh, my
small
God.
Speed walkers.
There actually are mall walkers that are usually up there like 7, 8 a.m.
I was just going to ask. I remember a couple
and they speed
of
walk,
times
they speed walk
like
through
speed
the mall.
Or they run inside the
I'm not up at that time, my friend.
Bro, I don't know. Brands have not gotten on board and sponsored any of these people yet. But they're literally, they're literally the athletes of the future.
I think that defies anything a fitness brand wants to do if they're going to do an mall run.
Here's my picture. Can I do a podcast just for mall walkers?
And yes.
It starts exactly as you start your session and ends as soon as you finish your 2 kilometer mark.
And you do you speak in their strides. Yeah. I love this. I love this idea. Yeah. Great idea.
I really think you should do that.
Okay, bro. I don't have the resources. That's why I came to see you. Okay, that's great.
We'll co-produce it under Decant Media. We'll create a podcast for mall walkers.
That sounds amazing. I will do this.
And your age demographic, generally, you're looking at 50 plus. So we just got to get them on.
Okay, you know the numbers. You don't have to impress me. I'm just an ideas guy. You can start talking numbers to me and like, we're going to get 30,000 listens. I'll be like, I don't care. Is it a good idea?
He was just giving you the age demographic, bro.
I was giving you the age of the mall walkers.
In their 50s? Are they in their 50s?
Yeah.
Why? Do not be people? Young people
athleticism.
Don't like health.
Don't like health now.
In the morning. The reason is because there's no youth in the mall at that time. There are no kids to bother you and interrupt your workout. The shops are still closed. And then you end it at one of the coffee shops and have a bagel.
A bagel.
So, you know.
A bagel. I made a mistake the other day and I wore We call them galabeas back at home, or mm-hmm. kurta, but you guys call them kanduras?
Kanduras. Yeah. Yeah.
I wore a short sleeve one. The disdain I was treated with. Someone was like, yo, go put on proper clothes. And I'm like, yo, son, I wear this every day. Yeah. It is hot. It's short sleeve. Like, nah, long sleeve. Nah. Get out of here.
Straight up.
Yeah. So tell the listeners, where are you from?
I'm from sunny southern South Africa. South Africa.
Where in South Africa?
I'm from a place called Johannesburg, which is the capital of South Africa. I grew
where
up in a...
air horns when we need them.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Yo, Tech, so far you are doing the typical like studio producer, like, I'm never ready. I don't have anything on my system.
You put your headset 10 minutes after we started.
And now it's 6:30. You had time.
Okay, enough about this.
Anyway,
Please tell us.
Rub it in.
So, when is this meant to
tell
be
us,
you?
Tell us about tell us about South Africa.
Okay, sunny southern South Africa. I come from a small coastal town called Durban. Durban is known for not many things: the beaches that you can swim in, and the highest percentage of Indian people outside of India.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Indian people were taken there in the early 1900s, or maybe a bit later, to be indentured laborers. My family did not come on that boat.
What boat did your family come on?
We came from Iraq/Iran.
Wait.
I can see that now that you said it.
Yeah, I know. And then
when you say Iraq/Iran,
like your room's
back
cousin.
In the day, was,
are we related or not? Just tell me now.
I would hope not. No, we don't have pretty genes in my family.
Oh, that's nice of you.
You always have to be
gentlemen.
Charming.
Always
have to
be charming. We had an air horn. Yeah. Anyways,
then they went to an Indian town called Surat, and then from there they jumped on a boat and got to South Africa. I'm actually particularly upset with my forefathers because there was a second boat which went to Canada.
That's the boat we experienced.
Yeah, that's right. Yo, in every universe, we're related. Wow. Bro.
And look how we've met. It's taken me 33 years to get here. Wow. And it was tougher for me to get here. So I grew up there, and I am a comedian and a podcaster with Africa's 8th best podcast. That's the slogan. It's really number 5, but I committed too early. So, sucks for me. Sucks for me. Yeah, Africa's 8th best podcast and Dubai's 3rd. I'm just going to claim it for now.
I like
whoever,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever owns it.
Hey,
sorry for you, bro. Yeah, sorry if I go into a bit of South African slang. I can't knock it out of me.
I think it's, I love
that.
It you because I like
that.
To.
Yeah, because I keep on telling people when I like pitch up a plane, like, yo, how's it? And they're like, what?
What's the response to how's it? What are we supposed to say?
It's just how I say hi. So it's basically the words
fine.
Of how is it, like compiled into one. And then I say, if I say like, oh, if something sucks for you, like, oh, hare boy, like, sorry.
Hare boy.
Yeah. And then like, but people are just telling like, ah, hare. And
oh,
like,
so I know that one actually. Because Reem and I watch a show called 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, that shit is wild, bro.
Right?
We don't have all the seasons.
And there's a South African dude.
There's a South African
and he
dude
says howdy a lot, remember?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, like. I'm familiar with a couple of things. So.
We know your culture.
Oh,
you know
we do.
Oh, because, please, appropriate it more. Tell me what you know about South Africa.
Right?
This is me mansplaining South African culture to the South African.
No, I would like
90 Day Fiancé. I need to read that you're mansplaining through a show.
No. Please understand, it's anthropology.
You're sitting
very
in
good
the,
show. Don't write it off.
No, I know.
He knows.
But like... Khalas, anyway. Carry on.
But I would like to actually know what you guys know about South Africa.
Okay. Oh, here cool. we go.
Yeah.
Not much.
We're going to scratch Mandela off the list, right? Because like everybody knows
Everyone knows that. Yes.
Yeah. Other than what we've learned from 90 Day Fiancé. So
which is the breadth of my... No, actually, that's not true. There are many South Africans
seasons and 4 spinoffs.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, we haven't got all the seasons yet. But I'll fill you in with my most interesting South African fact. At one stage in sunny southern South Africa, Winston Churchill, Mahatma Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela were in the same town at the same time at different ages.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a fact I would not
that's
know. That's
yeah.
a very
that's a
good fact.
One.
Those
yeah.
are facts.
What were like? Do we know, like, was this for...
Mandela was a young kid. Churchill was helping the medics. I think it was during the Anglo-Boer... not the Anglo-Boer War. One of the Anglo wars that were there against the Zulus. And Gandhi was also... He was a young lawyer when he got there.
Oh, so yeah, he hadn't...
Yeah.
So what's amazing about that is it shows that South Africa at that time had this influx of, you know, just remarkable people... For change, I think.
Well, I mean,
not at that
also
time.
At the same time, we don't rate Gandhi.
That's true.
Like,
you
Gandhi's
don't.
Not our gene.
Yeah,
anymore.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Like, you're like, no, him.
No,
him.
So, like,
there's a lot of racism.
So, like, when I've been doing a couple of the stand up gigs over here, and like, people love Gandhi, and you, by all means, you can love, every man has clay feet. That's basically what I'm trying to say. But Gandhi had the opportunity to join the ANC at a very early stage. And it's like, hey, you know what? Indians are discriminated against. So are black people. Maybe we should fusion and join forces. And Gandhi was straight up like, Nah, I'm cool. I'm just gonna do the Satyagraha stuff by myself. That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
And then I mean, like, this South Africa is just a beautiful country.
Yeah. It is.
From what I've seen.
Anything that I've seen is like absolutely stunning. And yeah. There's actually in the film industry here and the events industry, there's a massive community of South Africans who came here many, many years ago and really built a lot of the content platform, like the foundations that we see today.
It's pretty cheap to shoot stuff in South Africa as well. Like in Cape Town, tons of movies are shot there.
Yeah. And I think the quality of the creative that comes through. Obviously, when you get here, a lot of things die at the end of the brief because of just the way things work. Yeah. But there's no question about the caliber of teams that come through. And from my experience, the commitment to creativity. You have a commitment.
Tech would be the biggest like superstar rapper.
Oh my God, Tech.
If you came over there, bro, I'll rebrand you, dog. I've got so many ideas for you. Not even joking.
Okay, can you just do it right now? Rebrand Tech. Go. Yeah.
Okay, do you know what Tech biscuits are?
Oh no.
Dog, they are big back home. Like that's how we'd firstly get you that sponsor, get you married, wearing more yellow, because that's like the color, the main color. You know, we get you rapping.
You're looking like a biscuit.
Yeah.
You're looking
like
a snack.
You always wanted to be.
You started rapping about crackers, not the white people, just literally. And like, bro, I've got it for you.
Racist adjacent.
Yeah.
It's racist, not like you're racist.
Yeah.
You're
and we understand racism. Like that's our your child. Thing. Yeah. That's like we know. Like I was actually telling someone today.
That's our child.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because I've been doing all these gigs, I've noticed like I don't like using the word woke. Like I don't.
Wait, when you say all these gigs, which gigs are you doing?
So
are you gigging in town?
Yeah.
In Dubai?
I'm trying my best to gig as often as I can. Back home, I gig like maybe about 6-7 times in a week.
Ah, so you're good at what you do.
I'm relatively okay.
Okay.
That is the best humble brag ever.
Right, it's like 6-7. No. Like
you're either really good at what you do or you book yourself because it's your event.
I also book myself.
He's like, I'm going to be at the Costa on Thursday night.
Yeah, see you there.
Send a calendar invite.
I've just been noticing like stuff that is like, I keep on going, if someone said this back at home, what would the audience do?
Right.
And I think there would just be revolt. Like I've heard people use the word that rhymes with schmaggot, but for gay people.
Yeah.
I've heard people use the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say retard.
Like, yeah, which is not PC anymore. You can't say it.
I'm going to tell you a story. I was at a gig years ago where a guy was doing a joke back home in sunny South Africa. And a guy was doing a joke about using the disabled bathroom. And there was a guy who was disabled in the crowd.
Right.
And the guy was literally like, get off the stage.
Oh, he said. So he just said, get off the stage.
Yeah. And the comedian was just like, oh, no, it's just a joke. He's like, nah, get off the stage. And then the audience is like, yo, get off the stage.
You know what? Get off the stage.
Now it's like 18 people shouting, get off the stage now. Wow.
So what's interesting here is I have never in my 13 years here seen anyone booed off stage. Though many people should have been booed off stage.
Yeah.
Many people. Did I say many people should have been booed?
So?
Yeah. So
have you said it enough times?
Yeah. We don't have that. I don't know why, but I just know we don't have that experience.
Do you have an appreciation to the craft form?
Because
that's generally what most people clap for. Like even if you do badly, they'll still go like, oh.
To be honest, in general, you'll find that crowds we're happy to have creative space where we can engage with each other.
You don't want to boost somebody off or anything like, oh my God, we got a gig.
It's hard to get on stage here.
There are bands playing, there are comedians. Yeah. Like we want to see more of it.
Just like an outsider is like our creative element. Is the creative industry appreciated because creativity maybe not in its bounds? Is it like it's not a thing that people play around in?
It's still
they do, but it's still in its infancy from my point of view at least. I mean you've been gigging, right? So you've seen what the comedy circuit looks like, the music circuit as well. It's still, you know, most bands are here to perform at bars while you're having drinks and dinner and chatting with your friends, like you know. So it's not It's not where it should be yet, but you see the growth, you see the development of it. But I think also the other thing is that people are just too polite. So if someone's bombing on stage,
yeah,
you feel for them.
You feel for them,
But also,
people will applaud, but you know you bombed because you're not getting as much laughs. Or the applause is not as loud as it should be, especially if the next person is really good.
I don't mind people bombing.
You feel
on stage.
The energy difference.
Bombing
right?
is just a part of creative.
I do mind you being part of the lesson. Incredibly offensive on stage.
Keep in mind,
it's like when you look at the other side, like all, what's it called? Like Def Jam comedy. Yeah.
We can't.
If you were bombing,
they'll let you know. Beep,
yeah. The entire audience lets you know very quickly.
But there is something here that doesn't. I've lived in quite a few countries. There's one thing here that doesn't happen everywhere else, which is you require a permit to get on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just rock up and do an open mic night the way you would like in Toronto.
Yeah.
So you getting there, there's a process. We all know.
I need a permit to jump
on
stage?
You needed a permit to jump on stage.
Yo, shout out Dubai government. I am getting that. I'm sorting out the paperwork right now.
Right. But I'm just, so like, because we are, now it's a lot looser.
Mm.
But as the country's 50 years old, and for I would say for the early 20 of those years, you needed, there was a lot of process in place around creative.
Dubai is only 50 years old?
This is its 50th year.
It's going to turn 50 in December.
The UAE.
As a country, the UAE turns 50 in December.
May I give you a history lesson?
Of course. Yeah. I love a good history lesson.
So the country is comprised of seven emirates.
Yeah.
And 50 years ago, the forefathers, so the leaders of each one of the tribes came together and decided to form the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah. Yeah.
And each one of them, you know, when you look at any of the branding of the day, it's a very auspicious day for everybody and a very celebrated day. Because it was the day when the vision of this country came alive, and it was under the leadership of His Highness Sheikh Zayed, who you will see in a visionary. May he rest
through
in peace. A visionary, because it takes a lot. It takes a really remarkable, miraculous man to look at the desert and the tribes and say, no, this is where it's going to be.
Yeah.
So you have to give. Grace, in my mind, when you're building a creative community, to allow that voice to build, but still it is building in a really young context. Whereas...
Right. Well, I didn't think it was that young.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Is. So whenever I'm telling people about the UAE, usually the context I always give it is that, think of it this way, like you're a 33-year-old person, right? And if we take it in the context of like countries, you know, South Africa compared to the UAE, South Africa's 33. The UAE is only 6 months, right? So it's still figuring its bearings out. It's still growing.
I mean, our democracy is younger.
Your democracy is younger.
Our democracy is like, 24 years.
Because up until 50 years ago, this was land that was split between seven tribes, right?
Yeah.
And emirate is the Arabic word for state.
Yeah.
So those seven tribes just ran their domains, their areas. And then 50 years ago, they came together like, Sheikh Zayed, Nayan, may rest in peace, brought the other six and like, okay, you guys, we got to figure this out and come together, you know? And considering what has been done in 50 years is...
No, you guys are winning. You guys are winning.
Yeah, so, you know...
There's a water fountain here, bro.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And it plays Andrea Bocelli.
Where's the Usain Bolt of
there's
countries?
Two.
There's two fountains.
There's a second fountain?
There's one here and there's another one in the point, which is at the
palm. I stay near the point. Yeah, I stay by the palm.
Yeah, so that has the biggest one.
There's another
one
fountain
in the world.
There?
Yeah. It's the biggest one in the world.
Bro, I'm telling
where's
you.
Where's that one go on?
Where are the Usain Bolt of countries?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're here to win this race, bro. Yeah.
That one has a fire, let it go track. And
from Frozen?
Fun fact.
That's top notch stuff. Disney musicals is my second. Yeah. Is my
you
second
and Akawi account. Will.
You dig Disney musicals, dog?
Hell yeah.
Which is your favorite?
Let it go.
Frozen?
My niece, I can't.
Moana, dog. Moana for me is a story of a Muslim girl being allowed out the house for the first time with no curfew. And then she realizes, you know what? It's best to be at home. It's really good to be at home. I want to go back home.
Well, you should do a podcast re-explaining musical in your own way.
Oh my God. Each one is a podcast.
That's my second podcast pitch for you guys. So
exactly.
I just want to be upfront and honest with you guys. So I'm here in Dubai, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's indefinitely. I don't know if it's here for a couple of months. But I just want to work.
Like make money?
No. Money's a secondary thing for me, bro.
Okay.
Don't worry about me. I'll sort money out in the future. I just want to work with podcasters. So like I told you, like the reason why I'm here is because I contacted Omar, who does not respond to emails or Instagram DMs very efficiently.
No, that's true. It depends who the DM is from.
Bro, I changed my profile picture to a Huns with like my cleavage out. Calm down. I was trying to catfish this guy just for a podcast opportunity. Don't worry about me. I've got the game plan in my head.
Yo, my Neve senses were tingling. I knew it was a catfish.
Yeah, he's like, this is a catfish for sure.
Shout out, Neve. We respect you. So I was just like, because like I looked at your guys' stuff. So I have a podcast company called POC Podcast, and POC stands for People
we'll
of Color.
We'll tag it in the show notes.
People of Color.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but we like to play around with it because just now like a white brand wants to work with us. We're like, yo, it's people of culture. Don't worry, guys.
No, you didn't just flip that fast. You did not.
Oh, you don't understand you're me. Like, I'll flip quickly.
Oh, you're paying? We flip it.
Yeah. But like I'm down. I can't tell you. I love podcasts. So I come from a time where podcasts weren't a thing. Yeah. Like at all. So like when I see other people doing podcasts or like other organizations, and I'm just like, I also want to contribute to whatever we're doing. What are we doing, guys? So that's why you'll hear me pitch you about 30 different ideas. 29
where,
of them.
Where are we
shit.
Writing these down?
Like mental note, brother.
They're okay. Mental note, brother.
All mental we don't get all the way from to Dubai from South Africa with no mental notes, bro.
Of course.
I got a great idea for a Zomato type of app, but I've never got the funding for it, and this is it. Maybe it doesn't really
work. Give it to them for free. Go.
No. They definitely don't want this
I was waiting for him to go like mid-pitch. I go, all right, to get to know more, please contact hello at Dukan Media.
Please subscribe to my Patreon to know what the idea is. I think it's specifically just for like countries that suffer with racism. So it's an app where you, it's like Zomato, it gives you the restaurant, but people can comment on saying like, yo, I had this racist experience here at this restaurant. So when you Google the place, like, yo, I want to go try this Korean
place.
What's
the name
out.
Of your app?
I don't have a name for it yet.
Racist Police.
So it's a review
POC
app
police?
For racism.
Yeah. But at just different
like
restaurants.
POC
yeah.
So it's like Yelp and Zomato for racism.
Yeah. So it'd be like, yo, I'm going to this place. It's a Korean restaurant. Oh, let me see if they have any problems there. Oh, yeah. Well, now the white manager doesn't like black people. We're like, okay, I'm not going to that place anymore.
Wait.
No one wanted that. I think that
works for South Africa.
It would kill in South Africa. I tell you straight up, that thing would work. Properly.
Well, so something like POC Eats, you know, is what you should call it.
Yeah.
I was saying POC Popo.
Oh, wow.
The POC Popo.
And then I had like another idea that it'll give you like a GPS type of system, but it gives you the latest, like the longest way to get to work. So you have a reason to be late for work.
See, this is smart. This is smart. The longest way to get to work. Like, so you have more me time.
Yeah. So you'd be like, oh, no, there was an accident on Sheikh Zayed Road. Oh,
let me take that road.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry. And then, but you could take the quick way.
If you want.
Yeah, you'd just be like, yeah, well, I took a left over here and that's the problem. Bam.
Huh. And out here, if you do take a wrong turn, that is another 30 minutes to your trip.
I do know that.
Oh, yeah. You've got a rental. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I've suffered. I've suffered already.
Are you driving here already?
Yeah, I am. Very scared. I don't know if it's the people flashing me. I don't know if it's because I'm on the wrong side of the road. I don't know. Lots of things. I don't know because I can't move like the mirror. I don't know because the side mirrors are too big. I don't know. There's lots of things.
Why can't you move the mirror?
It doesn't move, bro. It doesn't move. It stays in the one. I'm trying to move it, but it doesn't move. So I'm like, okay, maybe the car's in UAE. You can't move the mirror.
No,
maybe
that's your car.
No, that's just
my
car.
Yeah, and also the fire extinguisher is very ominous.
Why do you have a fire extinguisher?
Oh, by law.
We all do, right?
But by law, you should have a fire extinguisher.
Where is it? Is it in your...
It's on the passenger seat?
Yeah.
On the floor.
No, that's not where it's supposed to be, guys.
No, that's where all cars were.
It's usually like in the... I never see it. I'm always in the passenger seat.
Bro, it's got a case.
I never see
it. Yeah, no, there's usually... So in the passenger seat, there's usually like a little case hooked to it that it will sit in.
But I don't see it.
Yeah.
He can see it when he's driving.
You don't see it because in my car... I took it out and I put it in my trunk.
Oh, okay. But in all the other cars, I didn't see that.
But technically, it should be in the passenger seat.
I think I have one.
So the new cars, like Akawi's, they have it like a glove compartment underneath the passenger
seat. That's fine.
What? So it's hidden underneath the seat. Yeah.
This guy, basically, to start the car, you have to pull the trigger on the...
I'm looking on the side of this thing every morning going, maybe I need a passenger. Maybe this is a two-man drive. I'm only going to Carrefour. I don't know what to do.
But you never... Just in case.
Oh, bro, I'm so scared of it. And I don't know if it's because it's just like... So I haven't been out the house a lot during the pandemic.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you. Which is a great thing. Also because my parents suffer with comorbidities and they're much older. So you're just like, I'm not going anywhere. And then you finally get into a car a year later and you're like, yo.
Are you still good at this thing? Like, can I do this?
Also because you guys, like back at home, we can drive fast and we know where the speed camera. We don't need the app to tell us where the speed camera is.
It's like pretty
It's in our DNA.
Yeah.
It's like we just go very slow. Here... Waze will show you, you're like, hey, 50 kilometers. Hey, hey, my man. Hey, it's 60. Oh, this guy. Red police camera ahead. Yo, and then the app goes red. I get so scared. The anxiety is through the roof.
Why are you using Waze? Why are you doing this?
They said if I use GPA, if I use Google Maps, I'll get lost. So I was just like, I'll download another app. I don't mind.
No. Google Maps by far is the most accurate one.
Hey, you know, sometimes I need to speak to my agent and say, you don't know this town as well. Please, wait, but
your agent is here in town? Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah. So we need to have a word with him.
We need to have a word with him.
His name is, I always love giving him a shout out. His name is Osman, and his nickname is Square.
What's the story behind this nickname?
Osman Square. Yeah, Square.
Okay.
And we call him Square for years. But Square is one of the loveliest businessman you'll ever meet, like full on business mode all the time. There's no rest for him. And then, but like the nicest guy, like he does all these big shows. Like in back home, he brought all these Bollywood acts down. Like that's what he's known for.
Right.
And now he owns he's part owner of Abu Dhabi cricket team for their T10.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, called the Northern Warriors. And then El Divo is coming down now, and Wayne Brady hopefully in the future. So he does all these gigs and stuff. So he was just like, do you want to come chill in Dubai? And I was like, yeah, sounds great.
I'm gonna come.
Yeah. And then he lied about this heat thing. I didn't
know. Oh.
I didn't tell you it was tropical?
Did he not tell you it was going to get worse?
No, I said, can I swim during the day? And he went, yeah.
What did he say?
That was it. So I was like, well, he said yes. First day here.
It's shocking, the heat, isn't it?
You can only swim at 5 and 6 a.m. here.
Yeah, if you're not used to it, the heat is pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, I was more like, I read up, there's a thing called, I think it's called like cloud seeding or something like that, where they make rain.
Wait, what do you think cloud seeding is?
They make rain.
Okay.
I know. I just can't remember what the term was called. And yeah, I was just like, seeding. When does this happen?
All the time.
They need to have some clouds to seed so they could grow.
Yeah.
But if there are no clouds, there's...
You guys are living in the future here.
Welcome. You're living here now too.
You guys are living in the future. We don't know if it's indefinitely or definitely. I don't know if you can use definitely, but... We don't know.
Do you know how many people have walked into Dubai airport and been like, I'm just going to see what this is like?
And then they end up here for 10 years.
Like, you know what?
Six generations later, they're like, hey.
Dubai is a siren.
Yeah.
And she's going to keep you here for 10 years, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know if my mother and father have 10 years left in them, Joe.
No, you have to go.
So you know what you're going
to
do?
I have to bring them here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you guys, because I was reading up a couple of things before I came back here. You know, I love doing a bit of research. Your guys' show, Dukan, is the name of a bodega.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I haven't seen a bodega here.
Because you're not going to find it on this side of town. I'll take you where the bodegas are if you'd like.
Because I think there's an article where someone spoke about like where community thing is, and that's very true. Like when I moved to Joburg from Durban, like, okay, most of our bodegas there are run by like Pakistani expats, you know? So like I remember it's in a specific area of Johannesburg where I stayed, and there's it's a community thing for me.
Yeah.
Like you learn so many things about it.
Exactly.
And so like, that's why for me, I'm like the only way I can get some form of community over here is to find a community that's not even really part of my landscape.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I want to drink karak.
You've come to the right place.
Yeah, I want to drink karak. I want to be able to like, okay, well, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. But I'm like, I want to go and be like, oh, hookah pipe flavor. Can I buy it from behind the counter? That's what my bodega does.
Yeah.
Very bad like fried chips in the morning.
Of course.
With vinegar and chili salt.
We can do that. Like,
those
so
are great.
And a cheese sandwich.
Oh, you guys have cheese sandwiches?
No. So the way we do it here.
Yeah.
In a paratha.
Yeah.
Cheese, cream cheese only.
Yeah.
Not
like,
the good
like
cheese.
Like Philadelphia cream cheese.
Yeah, that cream cheese, the fatty cream cheese.
Even cheaper, Kraft.
And
Kraft.
Kraft. And we got a local spicy chips brand called Chips Oman.
Yeah.
You crush that onto the sandwich.
If you have a budget, you
and then you add hot sauce on top and you roll that paratha, baby. That was my breakfast almost every day of high school.
Whoa, Nelly.
Disgusting. Amazing.
For high school?
Yeah. Not nutritious at all.
To your mother and father.
It's delicious. It's just not nutritious.
Like straight up, you need to speak to your parents.
No, I can't have it at home. My mom's a doctor. That is not okay.
Same with my mom. Same with my mom. What type of doctor is your mom? My mother's an endocrinologist.
No, so mom's a pharmacist.
Okay.
And nothing that is unhealthy was allowed in our place. We were not allowed to have sodas at home.
Yeah, I only discovered Coke when at 14, bro.
Yeah, so like...
Yeah, my mother hid it from me.
There you go,
She told me it was only available on Eid days. Then I got to high school. I was like, yo, you know they've got a thing called a vending machine and they are
coke. It's operational outside of your timings.
Yeah. This is the weirdest thing for me. She's like, no, don't go there. It's like my mother made me believe it was haram for like years. For years.
Savage, bro.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't have Pepsi either. But like, oh, put it like this. We've got like a national broadcaster called DSTV. I don't want to say like the Netflix. I don't know what the equivalent is here. But we didn't have DSTV. We only had like public television, which and they used to switch off the channels at 6 p.m. each day.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. So like you'd be watching and it just go over.
It's just that one white noise.
Yeah, then we got DSTV, satellite television. And I remember when it came, myself and my sister watched it. Like from 6 p.m. all the way till midnight.
Because you could.
Yeah, because we could. And my mother was like, no more television for you guys ever. And then only after schooling was like I had a TV.
Wow.
Like, yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. In Africa. Africa's a dope place. We've got technology. Like, we've got our own like Gautrain, which is like our own metro line that only goes up and down and four stops. We've got a few things
working for you.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, we have a great understanding of politics and. Right. Like I told you guys early on, our democracy and our constitution is probably one of the best in the world. And that's just from a legal standpoint.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, really a good country. You guys should come visit. Tack, you, I told you, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna drag Tack and Reem and Nakawi and we'll go down. We'll definitely visit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ask me questions. I love questions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's what I want to get to. Yeah. So, okay. So you have your own podcast now working up there. And how did you start? Like, how did you get into podcasting?
So years ago, I went to the Montreal Comedy Festival. And during the day, they have like all these like day activities because of the night of all the gigs and stuff. And I was following people after like each seminar. Because, you know, like when you're a young kid and you want to see all these things, you're like, oh, comedy, I'm at the mucka of it, you know?
Right.
And I get there and someone says, please sit, sir, please sit. And I sit down. And then the next thing I see is a guy called Stuart Goldsmith. He jumps on stage and he goes, hey guys, welcome to the Comedian Podcast. Today my guest is Patton Oswalt. I was like, oh, I'm a fan of Patton. Mm-hmm. And then he just chats to him for like an hour. And he says, thanks, any questions from the audience? And I was like, wow, questions from the audience.
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember I was with Riyad Musa, we spoke about
him. Oh yeah, Riyad is a wonderful comedian.
And Riyad put his hand up and I was just like, asked Patton a question. I still remember looking at Riyad going, stop showing off, bro. This thing is a podcast. Yeah. Don't come here with South African stayelas and try to do things.
What's a stayela?
A stayela is like your vibe.
Like, oh, okay, like your swag.
Yeah, your swag. Don't come here with your stayelas and do this thing.
Like, don't show them.
Yeah. And then I went back home. I was like, I'm going to do my own podcast. I've got it. I was working at a radio station back then. I was producing breakfast radio.
Okay, and so you were in audio already.
You already were in
this space. Yeah. I've been doing radio stuff since I was like 17, 18. I got into it via comedy and then I just wanted to be on air, but I had some really horrible bosses who would never put me on air. Shout out Virgin Dubai. If you guys are looking for...
No, you want to shout out ARN.
Shout out ARN. If you guys are looking for a dope South African who has a pretty good radio voice, I'm here for you. Yeah, so I had the equipment because I was whenever I do like field reporting stuff, I'd be like, yeah, I've got the stuff for us. And then I started playing around in their field and I would go to cricket matches and I would make my own funny commentary.
Oh, sweet. So you began field recording.
Yeah. But like we would feel... When I say field recording for breakfast radio, it was, you really didn't have enough time. So you go like, I'll take the stuff for the, once everybody had left and whatever I did on my day, I'll go record to see if there's any funny clips from people I interview or speak to.
Right.
But when I came back from the festival, I was like, no, I'm going to start interviewing people. So I was interviewing at first just comedians.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know about comedians. And because I called it Lesser Known Somebody's, the podcast, because comedians aren't well known other than Trevor.
Right.
You know?
I like that name.
Right.
You
know? That's
very
true.
Smart. I like
Trevor
that.
Is the most famous South African
comedian.
Arguably one of the most famous South Africans in entertainment.
Yeah, in entertainment. I mean, like the only people who have an entertainment is Charlize Theron, Trevor, and Nelson Mandela. And he didn't even play himself.
Yeah.
You know, he had Morgan Freeman play him.
Right.
So I picked up the recorder. I started interviewing people. And that was like 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And then it's just like you get to the next step. When I was speaking to Omar early on, it's like you start putting your own money into this thing, you know, hoping at some point. And like not as a business, just like, oh, I want to record this podcast with my friend every Friday. I'm going to release this thing every Monday. And that's what it was for many years. And because you're like an early adopter, or the word that I hate the most is like pioneer. It's like, if only we had that, hey? Hey, Tack. Oh,
he'll fix it.
So like people start coming to you, be like, hey, I want to know how about podcasts and stuff. And so I worked with a couple of radio stations afterwards producing podcasts for them. But I realized that these guys were just taking the stuff that I had learned and like benefiting from it, where I was like earning like peanuts.
Right.
Right.
And I had left radio when it got to a point where it was too hard to do comedy at night, early breakfast radio. Comedy at night, early breakfast radio. I get to like Friday. I'll be
yeah. And then you got edits and
yeah, and edits and everything. So then I started doing that. And I only started the podcast company about a year ago because I was recording all my friends' podcasts. I was like, hey, I think this could work, this could work, this could work. Yeah. And that's
I'll take 50%.
Oh, is that how much you get? Okay, son.
Bro.
I won't lie to
you're
you.
Doing all the work. Take more.
I'm not good with numbers.
You clearly, he gave you demographics and you fainted. Yeah. Like I'm literally rejected it.
I've always like, I always tell Osman, I was like, yo, I'm not a numbers person. I'm a content person. I'm a creative person. That's what why I thrive.
You know what I love about that and I respect so much is that you know what you're good at. This is what I know how to do. I can do this really, really well.
Yeah.
Anything else, I need you to do that for me. And that's where, I guess, Osman comes in.
Yeah,
right?
That's where he comes in.
And that's amazing because then that honesty with yourself makes it a lot easier.
It does.
Like, I'm a creative. I can create really, really well. Let me create.
100%. And that's the reason why, like, you know, like, some people are always, like, precious over their ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're like, oh, man, this is my idea. And for me, I go, like, I have 100 ideas in a day.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable with 99 of them being shit. Oh, beep.
we have, don't we?
Oh, that you that yeah, you got.
We do in post.
Yeah. But, if I have one good idea, I'm also not very precious over it. So I'm just like, hey, here's an idea for more walkers and a podcast. And you're just like, yeah, we're going to run with that. I'm just like, cool. Like, right. I don't, the enjoyment for me is like, oh, here's something to share. I'm a very sharing person.
Yeah.
I love sharing my skills because I personally come from a country where if we shared more, it would be easier for everyone.
It would be easier for people,
So that's why when I come over here, I'm just like, I want to share as many skills as I can.
Yeah.
And that's the long story short. Thanks for coming to my show.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Thank you for coming to the Dukan Show's TED Talk. And this is how we wrap the episode. Where can people find you? So POC.
POC Podcast, www.pocpods.com. You can find me at Simi Arif. That's SIMIAREFF. My real name is Samir. It means the jovial one. And Arif means knowing, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So the jovial knowing one.
The one who knows happily.
Yeah. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Tinder and Bumble. And if you see me, please give me 5 stars on Deliveroo. That's probably my next job.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.